Giovanni with Matt Boyer and Andrew Mason. We have a big show on tap for you on this Friday. We'll hear from Todd McShay. He'll tell us what he thinks about this draft. We'll hear from Adam Scheffner, two big names from ESPN. Plus, Andrew Mason will reveal his first mock draft for everybody. So a big day on tap. But, hey, guys. Oh, well, you got something to say about it, Mace?
Yeah, I just wanted to hear, like, Mace, any hints.
It's a reveal.
He's a representative of the Broncos pick that I have in my first mock draft, subject to change over the next few mock drafts.
Yes, certainly.
Is a representative of the school with the most players here at the Scouting Combine.
And the exciting thing about today was that the guys were out on the field, including your first pick for the Broncos in this mock draft. We're not going to give it away, but he was out on the field there today. And, Matt, we were inside Elway and Kubiak and the scouts. We were inside their booth today.
Yeah, and it was cool to see that we were the only people that got to go inside the booth today, the luxury suite that they had. Each team is given a suite where the scouting staff, the personnel staff, set up and get to watch the players on the field. We were the only ones inside, so we thank John Elway and his staff for allowing us to come in. But it was great to see because it was very quiet. It wasn't a party. It wasn't loud and boisterous. It was very quiet and focused, and that's, I think, a great sign because today we had offensive linemen and running backs, two positions that a lot of people have the Broncos taking in their mock drafts. But I also think that it was cool to see the guys taking down copious notes, taking down measurements, even though the scouting staffs and the personnel staffs get times. They're in there taking their own times. They're in there going over their own notes. Nothing is fed to them. And it's cool to see because there are a lot of packets, a lot of binders, a lot of materials that these staffs have been assembling for months and months and months. So not only is it a big day for the players, but it's also a huge day for these guys on the scouting staff and on the personnel side to kind of put their hard work to use.
And Mace, it's not just the 40-yard dash that we're looking at here. There's the cone drills. What drills are you most interested in here?
Well, let's take the offensive linemen, for instance. They did the bench press yesterday. There's some value to that, particularly when you couple it with what a player's arm length is. But the other thing, I want with the offensive linemen, I'm not looking at their 40 time. I'm looking at their 10-yard split. And I'm looking at what they do in the three cone and the short shuttle, because what I want to see are quick feet. And that also means you're looking at the position drills as well. You don't have the same, like, hard numbers from that, but at the same time, you want to see, again, you're watching their feet. You want to see if they're getting set. You want to see if they've got good balance. Running backs, the 40, you know, again, it's the standard, and I think it certainly does have value for running backs and receivers above all other positions, but you also want to measure that 40 time in line with the player's height and weight. You know, if a guy has a 4.35 40, but he's 182 pounds, you're going to view that a little bit differently. But, you know, someone like Derrick Henry, he goes out there and he has a 4.5 4.40, and he's a, you know, close to a 6'3", north of a 240-pound running back. You say, whoa. That's the kind of thing you're looking at. And then with the running backs, again, also looking at three cone and the short shuttle, want to see their quickness numbers, but that's secondary to the film because that doesn't show if they can hit the hole or not.
Yeah, a player can certainly make a name for himself here at the NFL Scouting Combine. As John Elway and his staff looked on the other day, John Elway had a chance to talk about several issues regarding the Broncos. Here's some of what he had to say.
Well, I met with Peyton a couple nights ago, and we had a good talk. And as I said, after the game, we're going to give him as much time as he needs, and he still needs some more time, so we're going to afford him that time. He's deserved that after 18 years in this league, that to be able to, you know, give him that, afford him that time to, you know, figure out what he wants to do. So we'll continue to do that. That's where we left it. So, you know, we know where Brock is. Brock knows what we have to offer, and you know, we still have a great deal of interest in Brock. Would like to do something with Brock, so that road will start down those tracks, and that we got from Brock, we were excited about what we saw. And I think when you look at the seven games that he started, the way that he played, he made some good strides and showed us that, you never know what a quarterback can do until he gets in there and gets underneath the gun. And I think that he proved a lot to us. He's a guy that, you know, he's a tough guy. He's a guy that'll stand in there. He can make all the throws. And with Vaughn, we're in discussions with Vaughn. We've exchanged some offers, and we continue to meet. We'll meet with his representatives, but we feel good about it. Obviously, with the career he's had already, and the way that he played this year, we're very hopeful that we're going to be able to get something done. The discussions that we have going right now is we're not affected by Peyton's decision, so we'll continue to work with the contracts that we have with the players that we have that are Malik Jackson as well as Vaughn, and continue to work on that. So we're not tying that in. Again, we're going to let Peyton have his time. You know, Ty will come back. We think he's going to come back and be healthy, and he'll be fine. Ryan, I'll sit down and talk to. You know, we haven't had a chance to really spend any time doing that. And so once we get through this process, get through the combine, then we'll get back and sit down, and I'll talk to all those guys. I'm going to talk to DeMarcus, and, you know, time that we haven't had up to this point that I'll be able to spend time with them. So, you know, Ryan will be one of those guys I'm going to sit down and talk to. Well, as a player, you never look at that. As a GM, you always look at that, right? I mean, that's the way the world. But actually, I measured my hand probably 3 months ago to kind of figure out what we were looking at. So I could compare. I think it was like 10 1/8 is what it was. It was actually big. And now I don't even know if that's right, but So I could just use that so I could compare. So the other, but hand size I think is important. The only time hand size is important is if, you know, you get a bad day. You know, if you get a wet day or a sloppy day, that's when, hand size really matters. The key thing is we want to score more points this year, and I think, that's always the goal. But, I think, Gary and the staff, they've done a great job of adapting to the people that we have. And so our goal is to get better on that side, get better on the offensive line, be able to, put some more points on the board. So we're always trying to improve on that. And philosophy-wise, Gary's had the same philosophy for a long time. And they go through the whole staff. They go through during the offseason, look at different things that we didn't do very well and look at things that we did do well and try to improve those things. So, that's one thing. That's what makes Gary the coach that he is, the great coach that he is, because they're always – adjusting in off seasons, trying to get better. That's always a goal. Obviously, we had the right combination this year because we obtained the ultimate goal. And so however that combination that works out, scoring more points or stopping people from scoring. So, I mean, it was, a great year, and the combination that we had worked. And so that's what we're always working for. Now, if we can still play the same type of defense we played last year and get better on offense, that makes us even better. So that's what our goal is.
John Elway, given his state of the union, if you will, of the Broncos there, a lot of interesting things he had to say, starting with Peyton Manning. Said he met with him the other night.
Right. Well, Peyton Manning, free agency is going to begin and end with Peyton Manning. First and foremost, I think it was telling that John said that they're going to give him all the time that he needs, and he deserves it. And that's something that has been rehashed over and over. You know, he said there is no deadline. However, March 9th is going to come quickly, and that's when the Broncos need to make a decision as for their future with Peyton Manning in 2016. But again, he deserves all the time in the world that he and I think that the Broncos aren't going to push him despite having that March 9th deadline. I do think that they are going to be very, very open to letting Peyton make his decision on his own.
Yeah, but it's also very telling that even though Manning has that time, that Elway is proceeding with negotiations with Von Miller, that he's talking with Malik Jackson's agent, talking with Brock Osweiler's agent, and you almost get the sense that they're planning for life without at least a very good chunk of that $19 million cap figure that Peyton Manning would have, and that becomes guaranteed if he's still on the roster as of March 9th. Now, they can go one way or another. They can adapt, but certainly you can see from those negotiations and the desire to get those guys done, particularly Von Miller, that the Broncos and also Brock Osweiler at the Broncos kind of know which direction that they expect to go in if Peyton Manning does decide to retire.
And there was a little bit of news there with Von Miller the other day, as Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reported that the Broncos and Von Miller feel good about their offers that they've been exchanging. John Elway joined us on set, though, said that, hey, you never know how those are going to go, but he was encouraged by how they were going. We caught up with Ian Rappaport to see what he knew about the latest on Von Miller's negotiation. We're here with NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, and of course you had the news this morning about Von Miller and the Broncos trying to work on a mega deal. What's the latest going on there, and how important is it for the Broncos to secure a pass rusher of Miller's capability?
Well, it's essential, and whether or not this deal gets done, there's no doubt that Von Miller is going to be part of the Broncos next year and moving forward. But you know, it was a little surprising to me. My assumption had been just do a franchise tag and then lock him up in July. But I kind of like the approach. Like, it's very obvious from everyone involved that he's one of the current stars and future stars of the Broncos. He's going to command a lot of money, and he has earned every penny of it on the highest stages. So do a deal now, which certainly sounds like it is within the realm of possibility, and then leave all options on the table. You know, I don't think that Brock gets franchised. I don't think Malik Jackson gets franchised, but it's certainly an option if you have to. So this really, what it does for the Broncos is it makes every avenue available, and I kind of like that approach.
You mentioned a guy like Malik Jackson. If they are able to get Von done, you think that he becomes the next option there aside from Brock?
Well, I think they're a little further along with Malik Jackson than they are from Brock Osweiler. I mean, they've been talking for a while. You know, it seems like he wants to stay and the team wants him to stay. A lot of times when that's the case, something can get done. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And, you know, he's done a really good job of putting himself in position to be a key member of this team. I mean, we all focus on you know, the big stars, you know, Ware, Miller. But, you know, Malik Jackson was about as valuable as anyone, certainly down the stretch. So I like how far along they are for his extension.
After you win the Super Bowl and you have this many free agents, is that just an example of how hard it is to repeat as Super Bowl champions in this league?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the problem with drafted great players and developing them. You know, I mean, it's like the biggest problem they have is how much money to pay Von Miller. Well, he was your number two pick. You've brought it with him, you know, brought him through a lot, come out the other side. He's a great player, and he's earned it, and now you have to pay him, which is a great problem to have. And that's kind of, you know, it's kind of where you want to be, where your force is, oh, man, I have to pay this great player this money. Like, every team wishes they had that problem, you know, but I think the Broncos are going to probably face the problem they faced last time is sometimes guys might have to leave, but, you know, that's why you draft and you got to play young guys too.
Thank you to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport for spending a few minutes with us there talking about the free agency situation. If your head's not spinning right now, what's going on? Who's a restricted free agent? Who's unrestricted? Who's tender? Matt doesn't even know what's going on.
No clue.
He thought tender was how he had his steak last night.
It was delicious.
He doesn't know what's going on. And the only person who might know, Andrew Mason.
Your head's spinning, and my head may start to spin at the end of this. We'll start with the simplest thing, unrestricted free agents. It's very simple. You have at least 4 accrued seasons of experience. You can begin negotiating with other teams on March 7th. That's the start of the legal tampering period. The overwhelming majority of free agents fall into this category, including the overwhelming majority of Broncos free agents. Then you have the next category, restricted free agents. Those are guys with exactly 3 accrued seasons of experience. And I figure, let me explain accrued season. That means you've played or you've been on an active roster. You can be inactive, but you've been on an active 53-man roster for at least 6 weeks of that season. So restricted free agents. 3 accrued seasons of experience, but fewer than 4. You get a tender from your current team. That tender can be at 3 levels, original draft pick, second round, or first round. And that determines the compensation you get if another team goes for that player, and then you choose not to match the offer. What happens when you're a restricted free agent? Another team can make you a contract offer, but then your original team has 7 days to match it. And that's why the tender is so crucial. We'll get into the Broncos restricted free agents in a few minutes, but that's going to be something to watch over the next few weeks. And then finally, exclusive rights free agents. Really simple. 2 or fewer accrued seasons of experience. You can, once you've tendered, you can only negotiate with your current team, and tender offer is usually a 1-year league minimum, you know, non-guaranteed salary. That's pretty simple. And those are, and we'll get into those guys, but there's some big names on that list, including Matt Paradis, Broncos center. Now, this is probably what you don't want to hear. If you're not familiar with the Broncos' free agent list, it is very, very long. I mean, you know obviously about Von Miller. He's the guy that's getting all the headlines as well. But Malik Jackson, Brock Osweiler, Dane Trevathan. But as you can see from the list, there's a lot of key contributors on there. Omar Bolden, remember him on kickoff and punt returns, really galvanized that element of the game. He's on the list. David Bruton Jr., who ended the season injured, also a UFA. Josh Bush, Andre Caldwell, Vernon Davis. John Elway said they're going to let him test the market, but they might want him back. Ryan Harris started left tackle in the Super Bowl. Ronnie Hillman starting running back most of the second half of the season. Malik Jackson, I mentioned. Shiloh Kao. Evan Mathis, he's going to have some surgery. It might take some time for his situation to be determined. Von Miller, of course. Jordan Norwood, Brock Osweiler, Tyler Palumbus, Antonio Smith, Dane Trevathan, and Kyle Williams, lest you forget, he had a good shot to be the punt returner last year before he tore his ACL. Could see the Broncos bringing him back. We'll see what happens there. That might play itself out over the next several weeks. Restricted free agents, there's only three of them. C.J. Anderson, Brandon Marshall, Laurente McCray. I imagine Laurente McCray will be at the original tender level, which is for him, since he was undrafted, they wouldn't get a draft pick back in compensation. But C.J. Anderson and Brandon Marshall, going to be interesting to see what the Broncos do, because you want to give them a high enough tender offer to prevent teams from trying to poach them in free agency. Brandon Marshall in particular, an honorable mention All-Pro this past year. The Broncos may have to give him a first-round tender in order to keep other teams from going after him. And with Dane Trevathan set to test the market, John Elway said they're not going to re-sign him before the March 9th deadline, so he's going to be on the market. It will be crucial for the Broncos to find a way to retain Brandon Marshall if they lose Dane Trevathan. Finally, the exclusive rights guys, Sam Brenner, Todd Davis, a guy who could be crucial if Dane Trevathan leaves, Benny Fowler, Brandon McManus, and of course, Matt Paradis. It's a long list. If you add up UFA, RFA, exclusive rights, represents close to half the roster. And I'm just reading it. Imagine if you're John Elway, you have to deal with that list over the next few weeks.
Do we need to put you in the cold tub? Quite the sprint.
I don't know if I have any words left for the rest of the show, guys. Sorry, I'm glad we hopefully got a good guest.
A human encyclopedia right there, Andrew Mason. Hopefully that cleared things up. We're going to take a break because Matt, he has a headache. We need to get him some Tylenol or something. But when we come back, we'll be joined hopefully by ESPN's Jeff Legwald, and also hear from Todd McShay. Plus, Andrew Mason will reveal his first mock draft.
If I've got anything left.